Hello, respective viewers. It's George from Ireland, and here I am on Corn Market, which is a pedestrian street in Oxford, South Britain. So it's officially Corn Market Street, but nobody actually uses the word street. I don't know when they last sold corn here. Now, there was a north gate of the city, which was demolished in the late 18th century here. So we're coming to the oldest part of the city. So it dates back to Anglo-Saxon times, well over 1,000 years old. And in those days, a lot of fighting against the Danes. And the Danes were attacking particularly from northern England. So that was the Dane law, the Danish ruled area, from roughly 880 AD into the early 11th century. And that, incidentally, there are lots of toponyms in the old Dane law area with B on the end, like Corby and Rugby and Selby, and more of them will come to me. Just BY on the end, Derby, for instance. So you only find that in the former Dane law. Anyway, here we have Waterstones, fantastic bookshop there. And behind me you can see, well, I can't really, the trees obscuring it, St. Mary Magdalene Church. I know in Oxford there's Magdalen College, spelt M-A-G-D-A-L-E-N, but the church, methinks, is still pronounced Magdalene as St. Mary Magdalene, the woman who's mentioned on the Bible on Via Dolorosa. Some people speculate that she was the wife of Jesus Christ, because of course the good book does not state that he was married, nor does it say he was unwed. It would have been highly unusual for a man of that age, we assume he was 33 when he's crucified, not to be married in that society. Okay, so this is St. Michael's Church at the old Northgate Tower. It's only this summer I went to it for the very first time. I've been coming to Oxford for almost 30 years, and that was the only thing I hadn't been into. Pay a few pounds to go up, but I think I filled in it actually. So it's attached to this Anglican church. That is the oldest building in the city. And they built that was a watchtower for the Danes attacking from the north, which is that away. Okay, and it's otherwise, it's a gorgeous little medieval church in there, but it still functions as a place of worship. And down here is St. Michael Street, leading on to that Methodist church, and on St. Michael Street is the entrance of the Oxford Union Society, which is the sort of debating society of Oxford University. It's not actually controlled by the university. They said the university would quite like if it goes bust because the controversies it generates. One might have thought controversy would be a good thing for education, but apparently not these days. And by the way, this is Ship Street, just leading off Corn Market. And that's St. Michael's Church, which, as I stated, connects to the old Northgate Tower. You know, the Northgate of the city, as I say, has long since been abolished. but then you'll see some of these faux Tudor buildings. Very tastefully done. Apparently they're late 19th century, but could have fooled me, you know. Look at that, a bit bockety and uneven. It's a little bit asymmetrical. So yeah, this is one of the main shopping streets of Oxford. In Oxford, forgive me, I can speak grammatically, I promise. But it's a very expensive city. We're only 54 miles from central London. It's almost as expensive as Londinium. And people in Oxford speak about going to London as though it's going around the corner, because by train it takes under an hour. By the Oxford Tube, that's a bus service, it takes about an hour and a half. If you're lucky, it can take rather longer if the traffic is heavy. But it's so expensive to rent these shop units, a lot of them gone bust and they're boarded up, which is a little bit dispiriting. So then you see a lot of buskers and so on here performing, particularly in the summertime when summer schools come here with students from China, the United States, France, Spain, Italy, all sorts of countries. Not so long ago, coming from Russian, significant numbers to improve their English. Okay, the Oxford gift shop, full of loads of kitsch, merchandising. That's where the real money is made for the university, these Oxford University hoodies and so on. And the House of Wonders, referring to Harry Potter, because J.K. Rowling's novel, it doesn't allude to Oxford at all, but a lot of it was filmed in Christchurch, one of the colleges of Oxford University. So I knew a Czech seminarian used to call it the Harry Potter Castle, rather inaccurately. Okay, so here we are with the Harry Potter owl, and you can be in Gryffindor and Slytherin and all the rest of it. Okay, so various things to buy, but one of the things I somewhat dislike about this town is the way that businesses keep going bust and then new organisations take over the same premises. W.H. Smith, which we saw a minute ago, that's been the same place for, my goodness, since at least 1999, under the same management. Okay, Clark's, where you can buy your shoes and so on. Charwell College is a tutorial college. I think it's all one-on-one lessons there. And they're thriving. Charwell being a tributary of the Thames that flows through Oxford. I know it's spelt Cherwell, but pronounced Charwell. So Charwell College has got loads of premises. And it didn't used to be so big. It's been around for decades. There are quite a few of them here because obviously Oxford is synonymous with education. And this Clarendon House, various office units up there. Look how bland that building is. I mean, it's not even interesting enough to be ugly. That would at least be something. So, the building behind me now is part of Jesus College, is in one of the colleges of Oxford University, and it's been very extensively remodeled over the last few years. They always own this premises just facing onto Corn Market, but they were renting out the space to various shops or whatever, but they've actually started to use it for themselves. Give you an idea of how wealthy they are. There we go. Lawrence of Arabia, perhaps the most famous old member of Jesus College, Oxford. Founded in the late 15th century by order of Queen Elizabeth I, had a strong association with Wales for some time, and that's why in their room right above their main gate they used to have an inflatable sheep. And our college used to have a bog sheet, which is like written by the undergraduates, which would be a satirical scandal rag of a newspaper. The news, the spews, the screws about people getting drunk and having to have their stomachs pumped and who was shagging whom and whatever. But I'm sure you can't do that anymore because that would be hurting people's feelings. The whole idea was to embarrass them. Anyway, a little shopping centre in there, the Clarendon Centre. No great shakes you could find anywhere. But so the bog sheet of Jesus, it's called bog sheet because it was put up on the wall of the lavatory, was known as the sheep shagger, a reference to the supposed bestophile inclinations of the Welsh, but no doubt it's the racialists to crack that joke now. Okay, so Barclays Bank, you can find them all over, and then we're going to see Boots, which was here. I remember when I first came up, there's actually an underground supermarket around here, and then we go to Boots. So it could be a high street almost anywhere in the United Kingdom, so not terribly special. Because Oxford between the rivers is marvellous, but beyond the rivers, either side, it becomes quite an ordinary city with just a house, there's a few shops, hardly even any offices. The very historic part of Oxford is actually very small. And then you see some more shop units up there, which appear to have gone out of business, so they're just derelict. We need to be able to turn them into housing, because if you don't do it, then it drags down the whole area, and they just get demolished or squatters move in. This gives a very bad impression. Okay, so the Golden Arches of Ronald McDonald. And the Crown, which is a pub through there. I remember some. So a lot of Americans come here on their year abroad, junior abroad, undergraduates. I remember some Americans being astonished that the Starbucks is here or MTV is visible. And this is over 20 years ago saying that. I mean, come on. The United Kingdom's not in the dark ages, nor is it terribly underdeveloped. Okay, and here we have HSBC, Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Corporation. There used to be Midland Bank when I joined them many, many moons ago. And prêt-à-manger, as in ready to eat. Often you accent to say prêt-à-porter because I saw that film, which was very visually arresting if you were a teenage boy. And Lloyds Bank. Now, isn't that quite a handsome building? Look at the handiwork on that. Rather intricate, don't you think? Well, they managed to do it with stonework. Okay, so we're coming to the end of Corn Market. And that's it. And look at this tower here, Carfax Tower. This used to be a crossroads, quattro forchia, as in four forks in Latin. And you can paint it up there, Fortus est veritas, as in truth is strong. And you can have a great view up, but you have to pay a few pounds. Can you afford that to go up there? So, and this street here, Queen Street, is strictly speaking actually not pedestrian, but you think it is. Only buses can go there, private cars cannot. It sort of pedestrianised a lot of Oxford in about 1998. And you see there, that is Tom Tower of Christchurch, Oxford's grandest college. And this is the high streets down here, okay? Well, you can drive, it's got a one-way system. The greens are actually quite significant and we have them to thank for that. But I remember when you could actually drive down Corn Market, but so it's very different now. So the idea is that cities are built for people, not cars. So yes, we will allow cars, but they're to be deprioritised. Encourage walking and cycling, and they brought in a lot of cycle lanes. So Oxford really pioneered that. The Green Party still got a significant presence on the city council. 48 people were on Oxford City Council, six of whom are Greens, which is one of the biggest Green delegations in the United Kingdom. Brian, thank you so much for watching my channel. So please subscribe on Patreon, and there's a lot of valuable materials I see behind the paywall. And donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Bye.